Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
You will bring these things to pass. You will complete everything you started in us in the name of Jesus. Once again, I thank you for 2017, Diocese. I pray, Father, that this meeting will bring us closer to you. It will clarify issues that has bothered us, things that have beclouded our senses of judgment. You will cause us to see clearly where we are supposed to pursue in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Can you please welcome once again somebody on right and left? I welcome you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2017, the author says, is the priesthood. We'll be considering this theme. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting God that we will do justice to this theme in Jesus' name. When God dropped this into my mind, I was not sure how vast it is. For some of us, when you hear priest, what you see, if you are a religious kind of person, is an ironic kind of arrangement. But if you have been involved in African traditional religion, you will know who a priest is. Praise God. Anyway, a priest is a person who mediates technically a covenant. Am I making sense? What does he mediate? He mediates a covenant. He is a kind of a person who stands between a deity and the people. Hallelujah. And in this meeting, in the next 1 week, I'm trusting God that whatever has been a source of confusion, God will deal with them in Jesus' name. Paul was talking to Timothy, said if there is anything that you don't understand, God will make it known to you in the name of Jesus. Tonight, I don't want us to spend the dramas. I believe you were blessed with the drama. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was speaking about spiritual warfare. And many of us don't know that we go through warfare. Many times when things like this happen. You see, I learned from experience that Satan is a bad devil. There is no good devil in hell. All the devils in hell were qualified to be in hell because they were bad. There is no good devil in heaven. I hear people say, the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. Have you heard that before? That again was propagated by a devil. That gospel is a false gospel. I will always vote for an angel I don't know over a devil I don't know, that I know. Are you with me? An angel you don't know is 10 times better than a devil you know. Tell your neighbor, vote for an angel. You now know why many people never get there when they pray. Because they believe in a devil they know and disbelieve an angel they don't know. Do you follow me? There are times when things happen to people and you don't know why it's happening to them. Demons are very organized. If there's any trait we should copy from Satan, Satan does not believe in a no. You hear what I said? Satan does not do what? Doesn't believe in a no. Until Jesus hung on the tree, Satan was still attacking him. He had faith that Jesus can still trip. Are you with me? That is Satan for you. So when he said, be ye gentle as a dove, but be wise as who? You should ask yourself, why did Jesus use serpents as an example? Because he knows what a serpent is. Hallelujah. So God will help us in the name of Jesus to know what God has in store for us. In looking at this theme, the priesthood, we are going to be covering virtually everywhere in the Bible. And I'm trusting God that you will not misunderstand what will be said in any of the sessions in the name of Jesus. If you don't understand something, please, don't go to Facebook and preach it. I see a lot of write-ups on Facebook by people who don't know their right from their left. And that's not good for us. It doesn't help the cause of the gospel. I know because you have data does not give you the right to start preaching doctrine. Please be grounded before you talk on anything. I always tell people, anything I want to share, I need to run it through certain people. And if they don't agree with me, I drop it. Praise the Lord. Except the one that comes out of inspiration while I'm preaching. Am I making sense to you? But most things, I need to run them. Because if the people who are in leadership don't agree with your teaching, then I think you should pocket your teaching for that time. Until such a time that people will understand what you are trying to say. Is that okay? That's the nature of the New Testament. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord can be entreated. You know what it means to entreat somebody? To entreat means we can appeal, we can talk with you, we can discuss with you, we can say, sir, explain these things to us. I don't understand. I have the right not to understand. You should not say, because I don't understand, you start abusing me. Look at your coconut head. Your head like oblong. No, those are stupid things that we say. You talk to somebody on Facebook and all that he begins to tell you is begins to start abusing you. I don't think it's right. It's not the right spirit. Those kind of people don't have the kind of spirit. It's possible to have the right knowledge, but if you have the wrong spirit, you are wrong. Am I making sense? You are wrong. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Nothing much is going to be controversial. But let me say this up front. In the book of when we speak about the priesthood, we'll be looking at the person of Jesus. We'll be looking at the Old Testament models. We'll be looking at New Testament models, and we'll be looking at how those models concern us today. In other words, we'll be looking at the templates for our operation. Amen. One of the duties of the New Testament priests is intercession. But that's just one out of many. Am I making sense to you? I won't be talking along that line this evening. Others will come along and say one or two things. I don't know who will be talking along those lines. But I'm trusting that God will help us in Jesus' name. Can you give me 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 to 9? I'll just lay the foundations this evening. Then I trust that as we're moving into the convention proper, other ministers will start delving into many things. Hallelujah. Now, hear what Peter was saying. Ye also as lively stones. In other words, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Why is that so? He said, you were called forth that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. This is Peter speaking. Now let us go to the Revelation and see what John had the privilege of witnessing when he went into heaven. John, there's something called I was going to say first revelation. Praise the Lord. Revelation 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5, 1 to 10. What am I trying to establish? I'm trying to let you see the template, the foundation for this convention. It is not something somebody sat somewhere to cook up. We need to know what this priesthood is all about, if God has revealed it in the New Testament. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. I wish I can speak a lot about the seven spirits in this meeting, but if not, praise God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when they had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them arms and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Which are what? What kind of prayers do you think was being offered up here? Well, not tonight. But we'll talk about prayers in this course of this meeting. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These scriptures and many more tells us what is in the mind of God concerning his church. When they said Jesus redeemed us from the earth by his blood, you would have wondered, or you would have said, well, when he redeemed us, he brought us to enjoy the glories of heaven. Is that what the Bible said? Is that what the Bible said? Is it to come and enjoy the glories of God? Is it come to enjoy the benefits of God? Are you with me this evening? Are you with me? I'm asking you a question. I expect an answer. Praise God. Were you saved to enjoy the goodness of life? No. Were you saved? The Bible says you were saved to become kings and priests unto God. So anybody on earth that is giving you another mandate is destroying you. Can I repeat myself? If anybody tells you that your purpose in life is to become anything different from this, the man is working against God in your life. Can I repeat again? Yes, sir. For emphasis sake. Yes. If there is anybody anywhere, who tells you that your destiny, your purpose in life, is to become anything apart from what is said here? He said he had made us unto our God kings and what? Priests. Because there have been many pastors and many leaders that are giving the church of God false hope, false programs, and false directions. And you have in the churches many people who tell you that God raised them to do any other thing. Listen to me, we have only one mandate. I like this advert of Sterling Bank. One bank.
One customer.
Thank you very much, sir. Just one customer. You don't have to just one customer. We have only one hope. We have only one destiny. I know what it is. Kings and priests. And we shall do what? Reign. Where? On earth. Not in heaven. On earth. And we are going to look at what it takes to reign on earth. Because the truth is that we have misinterpreted that word, reign. Because when people who are carnally minded interpret that word, what they will tell you is that we have to take over Alagbaka. We must take over Asu Rock. And we have been trying to take it over all this while. And the Muslims are beating us to it every moment we try. And somebody came up and told us that they are Islamizing Nigeria. There is Islamic agenda. And I asked, what about your Christian agenda? Where is it? Because you don't have any. You know why you don't have any? They have given you a different agenda to pursue in the earth. And so there's no way you can ever pursue it and get it right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you still with me, church? Can we go to 1 Peter 2? He said, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. See, the truth about this work is clear in the New Testament. God is making you and I into an habitation in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. When he was saying this, he was taking this metaphor from the building of Solomon. Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I wish we talk about tabernacles and I don't know if we're talking about all those in this meeting, but people will be talking about that because you will see the patterns. Yes, what we'll be talking about in this meeting will be principles and patterns. Is that okay?
Yes,
hallelujah. So that you can understand what is going on. God is following a plan. God is following a program. He's not doing things haphazardly. And if you don't know what he is doing, you will work against him. And let me say this again. Who is an antichrist? Somebody that does what? He's somebody that works against Jesus' purpose. Simple. He's not the babalawo in the village. It's not the ritualist that is killing people. It's the man that deliberately frustrates his program. When God is going there, the man said, no, don't go there, go here. That is an antichrist. You know why? He's walking in rebellion. He's choosing his own ways against the way of God. He said, you as lively stones are being built up. The question I want to ask, are you being built up? Are you being built up? Do you think you are being built up? There's a lot that goes into building up people. If you read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, it is clear the mandate of the ministry gives. The Bible says it gave apostles, it gave prophets, it gave evangelists, pastors and teachers for what? Perfecting of the saints. The building up until they all come. That come is the same metaphor of bringing the house into completion. Anyone who is not building is an antichrist. Do you follow what I'm saying? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of that stature of the fullness of the Christos. Amen. And how do we know when you come there? Next verse. It says that you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know what they call sleight? Do you play cards? when you shuffle cards, somebody dish a particular kind of card. I'm going to play what? When the guy says, this is 20, is it 20 what? Or does that? He will just change it and give you an inferior one. That is a sleight of hand. Men are doing it. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? To deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in what? Love. May grow up into him. In what? In all things. In other words, there are compartments in your life that needs to be built up. It's not one compartment. That drama, let me say this too. That drama shows the life of many believers. Many of you are not balanced. You are not balanced. Satan is in the business of pushing us off balance. There are people that Satan will talk to and he will encourage them. Look, you came to Futa for academics. Academics alone. Then he will tell somebody else that, look, this spiritual exercise is what is so daunting. If you miss heaven, Kai, you guys will sit down there. Both of them are staying at the true two extremes of life. They are not balanced. And that's not what Jesus Christ came to do. He wants you to be a balanced person. Am I making sense? That you may grow up into him in all things. Hallelujah. Which is the head? Even Christ. I pray you will grow up in the name of Jesus. So he's building. You are like a building that he wants to come and inhabit. And he says, it's so interesting. You are the brick. And when they bring bricks together, they form an habitation. Yet, he has to first of all live in you before they can transport you into the main habitation. That main building. He has to be living there. You have to be a lifeless stone before you can become part of that structure. And I tell people, the reason why we have problems in the churches today is because somebody did not do a good work. What do I mean by that? People who ought not to have been put inside that building have been set there.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And so, the structure has problems. But I can tell you, persecution will deal with the problem. It will deal with the problem. That which is not part of the building will fall off. It will happen. Just wait. I don't know whether I'll be around when it happens. But it's going to happen. So that when it happens, you know a prophet told you, hallelujah, even though I'm a pastor, hallelujah. Are you still there with me? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. When Peter was making mention of this, he was bringing many things from the Old Testament. Please remember, these people had no New Testament to refer to when they were penning down scriptures. I hope you remember that. So the things on their mind, he was referring to the Old Testament types that they saw. The Old Testament types, we saw them bringing sacrifices. These New Testament priests must also offer up spiritual sacrifices, which are what? Acceptable. If you are a New Testament preacher, sorry, not a preacher, please. I'm not talking to preachers in this meeting. I'm talking to believers. And let me tell you again, this is what I always tell people. I am first and foremost a brother before I'm a pastor. Did you hear what I said? What did I say I am? Before I'm what? May you remain a brother forever. When you get to heaven, they will not call me pastor. They will call me bro. How many of you are bro? You are a bro. If you are a sis, can I see your hand? Some people don't like it. The pastor, don't call me sister. I don't like it. I say, you are there. You are not going to be part of him. When I put this garment off and I stand before God, we are brothers. They won't give me honor as pastor. You can take this pulpit for me. You can take this microphone for me. But the day you take bro from me, that's the end. So please don't play with your bro or your sis. Don't be ashamed. Paul said, of me, you prisoner. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still with me? You must offer sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. There are sacrifices that are not acceptable. Romans chapter 12. Can we look at it? I'm laying foundation. I'm not doing any serious teaching tonight. Hallelujah. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? By the mercies of God. In view of his mercies. Pray for it. That you do what? Present your bodies. What? A living. That's a play of words, you know. Many of you don't really take time to think about it. How can a sacrifice be living? It's a sacrifice. All sacrifices are dead. Amen. And yet he's calling it living sacrifices. That drama said priesthood is what? It's a lifestyle. Can you have a mindset that your life has been taken from you? Can you have a mindset that the life you have is not your own? Can you have a mindset to realize that when you said I gave my life to Christ? Do you know the meaning of that word? I gave. Do you think about it? You think you just came to church and said, I confess. You have been sinner, I'm a sinner. Jesus, be my Lord. They say, I gave my life to Christ. No, that's not, it goes more than that. It's deeper than that. When you give your life to somebody, then it means that it is no longer your own. Your time is not yours. Your talents are not yours. Your ambition is not yours. You don't have a right to ambition again, you know. Oh yeah, the church is quiet on me this night. What did I do wrong? Can I change the message? Maybe I should preach seven steps to becoming rich. Praise God. This we will do if God permits. Amen. I do business. But I don't do business at the detriment of my Christianity. If a business will affect my Christianity, I will walk away from it. It's not by force. Without it, I will see it. Amen. Nobody saying amen. Pastor, what did I do? You don't know that this thing helps man of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, smile. Tell your neighbor, smile. Don't frown. No. Glory to God. I hope you are not tired. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Many of you have problems with this because of ambition. Once it is your ambition, then you are no longer a living sacrifice. Once you begin to say, this is my plan, Pastor. Now, I'm not against you planning your life. Praise the Lord. I believe people should plan. Am I making sense to you? But when you plan, excluding God from your plan, then it is no longer a living sacrifice. In fact, it is no longer a sacrifice. You have taken your life back and you have your life on your own. When I begin to say, Pastor, I say, Pastor, I am going to Lagos to see the Queen. Don't go to Lagos. Pastor, I'm going to Lagos. I must see the Queen. It begins to tell me that you still have a personal agenda that you are running in the earth. That old practice of seeking the face of God is being lost in the churches today. People don't longer seek God. If you tell me, of course, I must say, if you lie to me, I will know you are lying. God has a gift of a pastor. He just gets to know. When you are lying, I will just be looking at you. And the witness will tell you, Umparo, even though I don't catch you like this, I know you are lying. And I can tell you, if you go that way, you will come back and meet me where I'm waiting for you. Praise the Lord. But if you have taken time to pray, and you have genuinely prayed, and the Lord said, move over to Lagos, I have no problem with you. But many of us are taking decisions without regard to God anymore. If it has come so much bad that people, when they want to seek a partner, they don't even pray again. I hear some pastors say, you need to pray.
I just like him and I marry him.
All right.
Nothing will happen to you in Jesus' name. You will have pickings in Jesus' name. But you are setting a pattern that is similar to that Lot sets. Lot did not get lost in one day. Lot got lost in the process of time. When did he first make his mistake? When he made up his mind to go to Sodom. That was the beginning of his problem. Do you understand me? It didn't start one day. Satan will not kill you one day. Satan can afford to wait for you for 30 years. If you read the story of Samson, it took Satan 25 years to destroy Samson. How many years did I say it took him? Satan can wait for 50 years to destroy you. 50 years. He has time on his hands. You don't have time on your hands. So the Bible teaches us we must be vigilant. We must be careful. Every decision can be a life or death situation. One wrong move, and you open the door, and the enemy will nail you. But God will help us in Jesus' name. So if you're going to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, then it must be a living sacrifice. Any other sacrifice that you bring is not going to be accepted by God. And there are many people that brought sacrifices that God did not accept. Listen, every time you come before God, only priests can approach deity. You must be a priest to approach deity. And you know, I found that if that is true, then when Satan stood before God to talk, he was talking as a priest. Because God, you see, anybody that comes to God, God is the ultimate deity. For you to appear, you must carry an element of priesthood. Glory to God. What kind of sacrifice is he presenting before God? Accusations. He's presenting accusations in heaven. And heaven have not thrown him out. Because as far as heaven is concerned, it's also acceptable. Glory to God. You know why it's acceptable? They need to test the quality of your Christianity. So he's still around. I tell people Satan is God's NAFDAC. You know NAFDAC? They must authenticate whether your product is original or your product is fake. Glory to God. We are going to present a sacrifice that is good to God, acceptable. It must be living. It must be holy, and it must come according to prescription. You know why? In the Old Testament, nobody brought a sacrifice based on his own free will. He don't decide that, okay, this morning, let me go and give God this end. I just want to show God that I'm happy. Then you bring one cockerel. You will die there. Am I making sense? You can't bring any kind of sacrifice. So if it is so in those days, it is still so today. So what is the one that is looking for? He said it must be what? Living. And it must be holy. When you tell people, please, walk away from fornication. It's not because we don't want you to enjoy. Somebody, girls, sisters, you are more susceptible to this. All these five brothers that are jumping around and they are smiling at you, I say you are very fine. God created you. I say, God, I know you, God. Ask them in the Old Testament what fornication did to them. 24,000 died in one day. Fornication is the best way to kill a man. Fastest route. He says, not only must it be a living sacrifice, it must be what? Holy. And it must be acceptable. So, that acceptable, that means there are other conditions that go into that which makes it acceptable. Do you know that in the Old Testament, I'm talking about sacrifices, that there is no sacrifice you bring that does not have salt in it. You must have salt. You know what that salt stands for? If you bring a sacrifice
all those flour and all those things, and you join it together, and there is no salt in it, God will not accept it. No matter the quantity of your sacrifice, there must be salt. Every sacrifice must be salted. Hallelujah. That's what makes it acceptable. I pray that as we go into this convention, God will open our eyes the more in the name of Jesus. Let me take one last scripture. Then I will probably try and close. Amen. I don't want to take a long time today. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 3 to 8. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Please pay attention. What did he do? He said, I brought you unto myself. And now therefore, if, everybody say if. What is the meaning of if? Shugbon. Abi? Shugbon is but. Toba. What is the meaning of Toba? They said Toba means if. If means Toba. Okay. It is conditional. If. If. In other words, they've thrown the ball into our courts. If ye shall obey my voice indeed. Everything that runs these testaments is obedience. Everything that is consistent with this testament is what? Obedience. Obedience. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. 8. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do what? We will do what? Did they do? No. They did not do. They did not do. But the condition is that if they had obeyed, if they had kept the instructions, if they had kept the laws, they would have become a peculiar people. They would have been a kingdom of priests. In other words, the whole Israel, every person in Israel, child, adult, whoever the person was, once that person is a Jew, it will become what? A priests unto the Lord. That was God's intention for the first church. Am I making sense to you? That was what? You see, the problem we have is that there are many things, there are many principles in the Bible that gets obscure. You just lose track of it and you don't know. And you don't know where everything started from. This is his intention. That's why you need to understand this, so that you can understand what Peter was speaking of in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 9. When he said, you are a kingdom of priests. That was the intention. And it's still true that if you will obey, you will become that. Hallelujah. What people don't understand is this about the principle of God. See, when God speaks, he speaks in the present tense. He doesn't speak in the future tense. Because God is. God is not will be. He is. So when God says you are a peculiar people, that does not mean you are yet peculiar. You are not yet peculiar. But that is what is believing you to become. Am I making sense? You have to hear that word and let faith rise in your heart and have faith in the faith that God has in you.
Do you understand me? So it can become that. So when I say you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it does not mean that you are righteous as you are standing. No. It does not mean that you don't commit sin. Are you with me? But God has so much faith concerning you that a day will come when you will stand in the earth and Satan will find nothing against you. Can you believe God for that day? That is what is called faith. That's why Hebrews 11 was written. That you can understand the syllabus of faith. That many were preached to. God preached certain things to them. And they dared to believe God. And they began to walk towards the realization of that reality. I don't know if I'm making sense to you. They had the message. They believed God. And they began to migrate toward the reality. And the Bible says God got to pray. God is not ashamed to call them God. He said, call them or call himself their God. You know that when you look at people, if you look at a man like Abraham, you should not identify with Abraham. Sure you know. A man, how old was he when he came out of the land of, maybe was 70 years of age. And by the time he was 75 or thereabout, he was 75, yeah. He began to change his name from Abram to Abraham, the father of nations. And every time he comes for a naming ceremony, and they ask everybody to introduce themselves, say, sir, yeah, I'm Pastor Dilly, I'm Pastor Ogi, sir, I'm Abraham, the father of many nations. I can hear people laugh at the back. We know you, bros. There's no. He doesn't even have one child. He's saying he's the father of nations. If it were you, will you keep attending naming ceremonies? You will not attend it. It tells me that you are not walking in faith. Walking in faith demanded that he had to deal with the scorn. He had to deal with the insults. He did not let those things get to him because he was migrating towards a reality that God had declared. Am I talking to you? When he was calling himself Abraham, he yet had no child. Praise God. But he was not fooling himself. I said, I have a child. No. Do you understand his mindset? Praise God. We'll talk about that. But you are a what? You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. The same promise that was made to the first church is to be made to us today. Paul warned that if they fail, we also can fall. It's not, these promises are not cast in concrete. No, they're not cast in concrete. It's a reality in the spirit. But we must follow the same procedure. What is the procedure? If you will indeed obey all my commandments. If you will obey. And the first thing we read in the Acts of Apostles chapter, after people got born again, the Bible says, and they obeyed the apostles' doctrines. Everywhere you see in the New Testament, you always come across that word, obey, 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 obey. Praise God. We are having a set of people in the church that they are very disobedient. Very, very arrogant. Somebody was again Facebook. More or less began to insult a sinner's minister of God. In the last days, mother, they shall be what? Disobedient to parents. They will not regard parents. And you know the Bible says the first commandment that carries the promise of life is what? Obey your parents. Honor your parents. There are certain things that are spiritual. Let me warn you. I've always said it here. If you cannot obey men, you cannot obey God. If men give you simple instruction and you don't obey it, God will never speak to you till the day you die. Because he has put men around you and is watching the way you react when they give simple instruction. When they say, bros, carry this chair, put it there. You look at it and say, this man does not have sense. You go and put it there. You are right. You are deleting you are doing control delete from God's program. Am I making sense? Then a time will come in your life when you say, well, if God does not call me, I will call myself. Don't worry. Call yourself and take yourself to hell. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are going to be the... And let me say this, and I begin to bring this to a close. That you should show forth the praises of Him. The show forth the praises of Him is not singing hallelujah chorus. It is not... What was this new song that we used to sing? This new one that our brothers that we like. Are you... Everything written about you, He is great. Ah, say, I worship God today. Oh, ah, kasakaba shantaya baba. Where did you read in the Bible that singing choruses is worship? Where did you read in the Bible? Did Jesus Christ not say, they that worship the Father? Did He say, those that worship Father must sing choruses, that you are great? God delivered your church. Amen. I'm not against people singing, no. Me, I like dancing, I like singing, no. But I don't fool myself thinking that that is worship. Worship takes place when your sole of your feet hits the road there. Are you with me? When you are in your class, when you are among your friends, do you honor Him? That is where worship takes place. The values you hold on to, that is worship. Do you honor God? Do you honor His word? Does a man say, because of the word of God, I would have behaved like a natural man, but because the word of God said this, I will not do it. That is worship. Because He has exalted God's word above His circumstances. That is worship. But when you say, I will show you today, you think I'm, my own Christianity, but nonsense. Then now comes, you are great. You are great. Everything you have, God, I'm. God will say, hypocrite. Liar. Don't be that kind of person in Jesus' name. He called you to show forth. In other words, you see, there are glories of His character and His nature that God is trying to infuse in you, that when you begin to exhibit it in the earth, people will begin to know God. People will begin to recognize God. People don't know God. And He needs you to show them God. That is the New Testament role that you and I have been called to play. It's not the sacrifices of killing goats. It's the sacrifices of showing men who God is. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1 verse 3. And I will close on that note. I promise. Amen. I promise. Did I say I promise last time? No, I didn't say so. I said I'm trying to close. But I promise. Who being the what? The brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you have the amplified version of this? Can you give me amplified version? God bless you. No, we are giving verse 4. Now I ask for verse 3. Is the soul what? Expression of what? The glory of God. The light beam. The out rain or the radiance of the divine. And is a perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Hallelujah. Satan said Jesus Christ can be that because He is God. Hallelujah. Do you follow me? Jesus is what? The Bible says, God tabernacled, the word tabernacled in flesh.
He dwelt in flesh. So we can say, well, it is possible for him to be this. Now, how will mortal man that drinks iniquity like water become this? Do you follow what I'm saying? When we're talking about the showing forth his praise, look, there is an eternal, let me use the word contest, going on. Satan is saying it is not possible for dust to be like Christ. Will you and I prove the devil right? Or will you and I prove God right? God says, I will raise dust. He said, the stones will rise and praise me. You are the stones. Are you with me? You are what? He has been looking for people that will rise and create that praise. That when they see them, they will say, of truth, God is righteous. So when he says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are his righteousness. Hear it again. You are what? His righteousness. You are the people that will vindicate God, that God is right. Am I talking to somebody? He is the sole expression of the glory. But he's also looking for men and women that will also become that expression of his glory. Who become the light being and the outrain of the radiance of the divine. And will also become that right image of his person. So priesthood is not just intercession. It goes beyond intercession. Priesthood is nature. Are you with me? When you begin to bear that image, that nature, and the characteristics of the divinity, you are walking in priesthood. Am I talking to you? Say, you are a kingdom of priests. A kingdom. That's why he's made us kings and priests. Because without kings, there is no kingdom. Hallelujah. If God permits that I come back to speak in this convention, I will delve a little along these lines. If God permits. Hallelujah. If I don't come, God will take control. Hallelujah. But I've laid the foundation for you and I to continue, that for those who will be building upon it. And I trust God that you will properly set in place. God will set you in the right place, in the body, in the name of Jesus. All of you that are out of order, God will bring you back into order. It's not about popularity. It's not popularity. It's about being functional. You see what I was saying? About what? Being functional. You see, everything, God is multifaceted, multidimensional. You may be just called to express one aspect of his nature. Maybe it's love nature. Maybe it's patience. I don't know what it is. But play your own part. Don't exalt ministry above character. Don't dry that. That's the fastest way to destroy yourself. They may not give you a ministry, but don't trade with character. Do you understand what I just said? Don't sacrifice character on the altar of ministry. It's not worth it. I was going through a book this morning. 257 pages. Was written by a saint. That man was not a pastor. He was just a brother. And Jesus gave him revelation of his person. So the person in Pilgrim's Progress, that wrote Pilgrim's Progress, was not an apostle. He was just a brother who loved Jesus. And heaven downloaded things to him. Let us stop exalting things we should not exalt. Let us honor what God wants to honor. It will be well with us in Jesus' name. Can we bow our heads and let us pray? I want you to talk to God. There is a program of...
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.